Hello, and welcome to What's My Tagline? I'm your host, Carol Flagg. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we put our microphone in front of a variety of industry experts to understand the factors influencing messaging, branding, and reputation in healthcare. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline and follow me at Carol Flagg. My guest today joining me from Israel, all the way from Israel, is Nicole Grubner, and she is with the integrated communications firm Finn Partners. Nicole, thank you for joining me today.
Carol, it's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to talk with you. I met you at HIMSS at the Power Press Party, and you are the first guest that I've actually had talking with across the pond, as they say. Actually, you're not just across the pond, you're way across the pond. Right.
Way across the pond. And it's funny because there are colleagues of mine that you could speak to much closer to home, but I had the pleasure of meeting you over in Orlando this month.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is that our listeners, we have a lot of listeners from the U.S., the bulk of it, but we actually have a global listening audience as well, about 20% who tune in from Europe. So it's not a complete out of left field that I'm actually talking with somebody like you who's living abroad.
Yeah, and you know, our world is just ever more connected, so geography is just kind of mattering less and less.
Right, that's true. So before we get started and learn about your background, I actually know you grew up in Canada and how you made your way to Israel. My first question that I ask all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be?
So my partner likes to say that if I had an autobiography, it would be called, "Everything's going great, this is terrible."
So tell me a little bit about that. That's very funny, actually.
You know,
very clever.
I'm one of these like high achievers. Like, I've always liked to do well, but also always anticipating the next thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, what could go wrong? Which kind of is a good trait to have, I think, in the world of PR, because you know you are always watching out for those fire drills and trying to anticipate what's going to happen. So, you know, keeping an eye on, you know, what could possibly go wrong here is a good way to preempt those things.
Yeah. So the sky's not falling now, but it could.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that would not be my tagline. I am always, everything is great 100% of the time, and I am always shocked when something goes wrong. Always. It's just the nature of the beast. So tell us a little bit about your background. I know you grew up in Canada, in Toronto, I believe, and how you got to Israel, and how you weaved your way into healthcare.
Sure. So actually, I grew up in Vancouver on the West Coast.
Vancouver, right? Right, Vancouver.
But a first-generation Canadian who ended up not sticking around. So I grew up there. I did my college degree in New York, actually, at Yeshiva University. And I ended up actually kind of getting into teaching right after college. I was teaching fourth and fifth grade general studies. So, you know, reading, writing, math, social studies, and such. And it was kind of like at the age of 15, I'd come to Israel for my first time and fell in love with the country and the people here and decided at that age that eventually I would live there. So about 5.5 years ago, I finally made the decision to come over here. I left my teaching job and was looking for the next thing. And PR, in a way, is just education on a grander scale. You're still educating and speaking to a target market. When you're a teacher, your target is your students. And when you're in PR, you have all sorts of audiences, you know, depending on your client base. So PR kind of became a natural fit. And in our office based in Jerusalem, we do a lot of technology PR, high tech, because, you know, Israel's startup nation. But a booming industry here in Israel is healthcare, health technology. So that's kind of where we've grown our business tremendously in the last 3 years, I would say. So if 5.5 years ago when I started, I had an alternative energy client and a semiconductor client. Now it's all medical devices, health IT, software, AI technologies, you know, AI and machine learning, big data crunching. And you know, just sort of the most advanced technologies that you see in the media that are coming out of Israel.
And tell me how you landed at FinPartners.
So before I moved out here, I was sort of just doing some research on, what can I do to fill some time while I'm getting adjusted. And I actually
Yeah.
found an internship program at FinPartners. So I applied for the internship. I had my phone interview and got a job. So it's actually a really not common story to have something like that lined up before you immigrate. So I got off the plane, October 9th, 2013, and 4 days later started as an intern at FinPartners in Jerusalem. My boss here kind of saw me as not your typical college student intern because I'd already been working for a few years. So they kind of used it as a training period, and then I just kind of took off and ran with it. So 5.5 years later, I'm now one of the account supervisors here, managing, I think, 7 accounts now out of our Jerusalem office.
So Nicole, FinPartners is a US company, obviously, though with a global reach. Talk a little bit about FinPartners, which doesn't sort of bill itself as a straight up PR company, but as an integrated communications agency. Tell our audience what that means.
Sure. So, from a general perspective, Fin is a global integrated communications firm. We're not living in a day where, getting your hard copy print magazine is enough to get the job done and to really move the needle for clients. So, of course, we're doing the traditional PR things. We're writing press releases, we're placing articles, we're doing, award submissions and speaking opportunities. But those things are sort of the starting point, and Finn has really taken on the digital era. So social media is such a big part of what we do. When you place a story, that's sort of the starting point. So what are you going to do with it from there? And that's where digital comes in. And we also have a really strong digital team, across the U.S. In our New York, Chicago, L.A. offices, working on all sorts of things: web design and designing apps and graphic design and video, and all of that has to become a part of your plan. So, it's not just PR, and it's not just marketing, and it's not just social media, and it's not just online, and it's not just in print, but it has to be a real combination of all of those things.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody who has been around. I don't even want to tell you how long I've been in the publishing and media business. It's been much longer than you. It's a long time. And I, of course, from the newspaper side of it, still remember the days where literally clipping services was a big business. It's not, it's obviously changed like everything else has, right? I mean, that was back in the day where printing a newspaper meant linotype, right? Linotype machines. And
I
so,
don't even know what that is.
oh, okay. Well, don't Google it because you don't want to know what that is. And so this idea of, that in the digital world that what you do from an agency perspective, you're taking a story and weaving it across many, many channels and use, this word I think has been used a lot, I think in marketing over the last couple of years, that amplification issue, right? You're there to amplify across channels.
And that, I mean, that sounds like a really like vague thing. What does that
Yeah, it does
mean?
sound vague, doesn't it? Like, oh, okay.
When we're talking to a client and they're saying, how can we make the most of this event that we're going to? And so you have to think about it in an integrated way and say, okay, well, if that event is focused on the veterinary market, let's make sure that A, we're putting out a news release that focuses on your success in that market, and B, we're placing a byline, with a top veterinary trade magazine to come out around that same time, and let's make sure that we're doing a proper social campaign, tied into that messaging. And maybe we'll place an ad in one of the key trade publications as well that's relevant to that market. So you have to be thinking about all these different angles, and that's not even starting on, who are the media attending that event, and let's make sure we're setting you up to talk to the right people, and what are the marketing activities that you're going to be doing at that event as well. But those are all the aspects that you have to be thinking about. When you get asked that question by a client, you have to really think about all those details and all those different strategies that can help make the most of each opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that word amplify too, the reason it's sort of, you know, sort of become this marketing term and PR term last few years. To me, you know, kind of relating back to your tagline, I think that that is a positive way for actually dealing with the negativity of trying to cut through the noise, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's always the challenge of, you know, being the signal within the noise, because, you know, there are so many PR people. I don't know if you've seen that statistic. What is it, like 10 PR people to every journalist or something like that?
It's a lot. I didn't see that stat, but we live that when we go to a conference, obviously. You know, it's quite a bit. It's not a one-to-one relationship.
Yeah. I mean, and that kind of leads us to where we met at HIMSS. You know, you guys were probably flooded and inundated with emails from PR people, you know, trying to get your attention and blasting out and saying, can you meet with my client? And it's hard for you guys.
Yeah, you know, I think that and HIMSS aside, I think it's really interesting. And I haven't experienced this so much with Finn Partners, but certainly, you know, we have agencies that we are connected to on a personal level, and we're excited that Roberta and I met you at the Power Press Party, which we're going to talk about here in a bit. But that you make that personal connection, you introduce yourselves, you're talking about what you do, your audiences. But we obviously have agencies out there who just do the cold emailing thing, you know, where they are sending, you know, HIMSS aside, they're sending out information about press releases, or, you know, they want to get their thought leaders on our radio shows and whatnot. And there's no sort of give and take. It's just basically you feel like you're part of a list.
Yeah.
You know, you're just a mass.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like, you are on a list, but those lists need to be really curated and they need to be researched well. And, you know, what we try and do when we have a show like a HIMSS or an MWC or a CES, you know, on the technology side is communicate. And that's kind of where we get to that global aspect of Finn and what we're doing. You know, we have offices around the world and clients around the world, and that means you have, you know, 50 different PR people who might have clients attending the same event.
Right.
And how do you coordinate that effort? And so that's where sort of the collaborative spirit of PR, and that's a core value of the firm, is collaboration comes into play. So, you know, a month or even 2 months out from one of those events, we're already talking together as a practice. Okay, who has clients going? You know, what do they focus on? Who has an actual relationship with the journalists on the list, and can reach out on behalf of not just their account, but multiple accounts? You know, the whole is more powerful than the sum of its parts, is how we try and approach things. Because, you know, why should you get 15 different emails for each of our clients? That's not targeted, and you know, then you have to read through 15 emails instead of one that says, "Hey, we have, you know, six companies attending this, that these specific ones might be of interest, and let me tell you a little bit about them." I mean, it's so important. We really don't want to bother the media. We want to try and like you said, have a give and take, and really bring you guys valuable stories.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. I think that, you know, it's part of that is just also the world we live in, you know, the expediency of sending out a mass email, or, you know, that obviously didn't happen, you know, 15 years ago or, you know, 20 years ago. It was a different relationship that the PR agencies had with journalists. And so much of that has just, as all of doing business has changed, obviously, selling, marketing, you know, agency relationships through emails, through instant messaging. And so I think, you know, having, when you could have a direct conversation, even if it's through IM, you know, on LinkedIn or through Twitter, you know, certainly that I think helps break down those barriers that you're speaking of.
Yeah, it's true. There are sort of challenges and opportunities in the digital world, and that, you know, on one hand we have more access. You know, you can do a mail merge, but that's not really a personalized way to approach media, nor to build a relationship with a journalist. So, you know, really something you have to keep in mind, with all the tools that we have at our fingertips now. You know, if you're really looking to build a relationship with a journalist, whether in healthcare or another, you know, sector, maybe you're conversing over Twitter for a year before you even think to pitch that person, because you just want to show that journalist that you care and you're following what they're writing and you know what you know makes them tick. So that's like a really important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to What's My Tagline, and my guest today is Nicole Grubner of Finn Partners. So, Nicole, you mentioned Twitter, and I'd like to pick your brain here a bit if I can. Obviously, again, we've met in person. I don't know your exact age, but I know you're on Twitter, and I know that social media is, I'm sure, an important part of what you do for your clients. Talk a little bit, if you can, about the importance of specifically Twitter. And I say Twitter because there's a lot of conversation, I think, about the use of Twitter for messaging these days, obviously. And also, interesting enough, I think there's some talk about this idea of the impact or the exposure that a tweet will get you, right? I mean, it's beyond the Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation. It's sort of like if you send out 100 tweets, you're going to reach 100,000 accounts, which is going to generate 500,000 impressions, that kind of thing. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about how you use Twitter. You obviously are on Twitter, and I looked at your account and I follow you, and I'm just curious to know how you use it as a tool, I suppose, to help your clients and or further engage relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. Twitter is an interesting thing. The way we kind of like to think about it is it's like going to a party. And, you know, if you think about someone walking into a party and just walking in the room and yelling something, everyone's going to think that person's crazy. So, you know, what you're really looking for is to walk into a party and find someone to connect with. And to enter a conversation. And so that's sort of how we like to think about Twitter, is, you know, as soon as you're out there, whether it's me as a PR professional or on behalf of one of our clients from a company handle, you know, we don't want to go out and just yell into the void and hope someone hears, but we really want to be engaging in what is the conversation that's going on. So from my perspective, you know, I look at Twitter as a place where, A, I'm seeing the trends and what's the latest in a given industry for clients of mine that I'm working with. It's a place where I see who is influential, who's talking about these things, whether it's a journalist or an analyst, or, you know, someone from the provider side or the payer side. You know, all of these people, all these executives, you know, have to be on Twitter. What are they saying? What is, you know, what's CMS saying on the latest with when it comes to digital health implementation? So, you know, you Twitter is the fastest way to find those things out. So it's a really valuable tool. It's a place of connection, but you have to know how to connect. You know, what's the appropriate way to connect? And what's annoying? You know, yeah, the last thing you want to do is be the guy who walks into the party and just starts randomly blurting things out.
Yeah, you start, everybody cringes. Well, and I think too, to your point, you know, about you know, the noise issue and the amplification. I think that Twitter, if used correctly, is an incredibly successful amplification mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the connections you can make on Twitter, you know, you look at someone's Twitter account and the first thing you do is, you know, you look at how many followers do they have. But then once you click on the followers, how valuable, you know, is each one? Are they real right. followers? Are they valuable followers? Are they people who are part of the industry that you're looking into, you know, having an impact on? So sometimes it's also important to look at the quality versus the quantity in terms of who you're engaging with. Because one person might have 100,000 followers, but, you know, only 0.25% of them are really relevant to you, whereas someone else might have, you know, 580 or 700, but they're really on target. And so that's the person that you want to connect with.
And that's a great point. You know, obviously we're well beyond the days where, you know, people were buying followers on Twitter, because it is a quality issue to drive a conversation, not a quantity issue.
Yeah.
Great points. So as we talked about earlier, we actually met at the Power Press party while attending HIMSS, and I was there. It was a great event, and Finn Partners was one of the sponsors. How did you get involved in this event?
So I think it was two HIMSS events ago, we connected with Dennis daily.
I've had him on my show. He's wonderful.
Such a great guy and really looking to make a difference. And honestly, it was just because we had developed a relationship with him through pitching, you know, through pitching stories. And, you know, we came to him with a story and, you know, for hymns. And he said, you know, we're having this event, you know, maybe this client wants to think about sponsoring the event. And so we kind of just opened that conversation up. And the first, you know, that was 2 years ago, we actually did have a client become a sponsor of the event. And some of my colleagues went to that event and they saw just how amazing it was, you know, a night to honor the press, which those nights are really few and far between.
as a matter of fact, yes, they are.
Yeah, and so we were like, you know, this is something we need to be involved in, because, you know, as much as the media and PR can sometimes get on one another's nerves, we're each other's partners. So we said to ourselves, this is a place that we have to be. We think it's important to honor the members of the press and appreciate them. And so that event really does a nice job before all of the craziness of hymns really begins. It's a nice night to connect, to get together, you know, to have some good food and have really valuable, genuine conversations with people.
You're right about Dennis. He has a very sort of personal journey, you know, related to healthcare that he takes very seriously, which you wouldn't, I think about when you first meet him, because he's obviously very outgoing and always smiling, but has a personal story as well. Yeah, we've been there the last couple of years as well, and I'm glad that we were able to connect this year, because it certainly was a good sized crowd and you know, just a great event to sort of, you're right, kick off what is always an exhausting few days of hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, Dennis's story and you know, my business partner Roberta and I, we obviously, our thing at hymns is to do these interviews that we call hymns highlights, and we did a lot this year, almost 50 of them, as a matter of fact. But there were three or four of these conversations that I had, and one person was at the Power Press party, that, you know, they were talking about obviously their company and what their company does, but there was this big connection to what their company does, to personal connection to what their company does to their passion. And I, as we're talking along, I'm thinking, and these conversations still resonate with me, these three, you know, there's four conversations specifically that resonate with me, you know, the technology that they do and what they're passionate about. And I imagine that for you as a communications and PR person, that's probably, or could be the holy grail, right? Is this from a storytelling standpoint?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you have that personal connection, you know, it makes all of the difference. You know, one of the clients I work with in the patient safety arena, the CEO of that company is a physician himself. And, you know, this company is all about detecting prescription errors. And he started the company because as a physician, he saw, you know, it wasn't a lapse in judgment by another physician. It was just a simple typo, essentially, you know, clicking the wrong medication from the drop-down menu. And, you know, a 9-year-old boy, instead of being prescribed an asthma medication, was prescribed an anticoagulant, and no one caught it. And so he also happened to have a background in technology, and he took that background in technology and took his medical training and said, we need to solve this. And, you know, using AI, they can now stop those types of typos that kill people. Right. That's an Israel-based company that we work with, Metaware. So, you know, that kind of passion, that personal connection just makes such a difference in telling that story. And it impassions us as the communicator of the story to be able to tell it in a way that's really meaningful.
Yeah, you can tell the difference. Yeah. So, Nicole, believe it or not, we've only got a couple minutes left of our conversation. So, before we sign off, tell me what's next for you and Vin Partners.
You know, like I said, healthcare is just such a booming industry here. You know, the Vin Partners Jerusalem office is really well connected here in the digital health arena. So we're looking to just help companies here looking to make a difference, make that difference. So we plan on continuing to do that. you know, business is growing, thankfully, and it's because we do find, like we were talking about, meaning in the work that we do. So we just plan on continuing to do that, continuing to build and grow and tell these stories. And that's what I can plan to continue doing with Finn Partners for as long as I can.
Oh, that's great. Great. Nicole, thank you so much for your time today and joining us from Israel.
Yeah, thanks. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah, you can learn more about Nicole by connecting with her on Twitter at Nicole Grubner and, of course, on LinkedIn. And be sure to visit Finn Partners at www.finnpartners.com. You can share your thoughts or comments on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline or visit the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. Have a topic related to our show you want to hear about, or you an expert who'd like to be on the show, reach out to me on Twitter at Carol Flagg or email me at carol@healthcarenowradio.com. Until next time, I'm Carol Flagg, and I want to know, what's your tagline?